all depends on you. I cannot walk the path for you, and then you have to walk it yourself. I can only tell you how to walk the path. I can tell you about the nice things that happen along the path. Also the not so nice things that we see along the path. What's with you? What is with you? What's wrong with you? Difficult? Is it difficult?
Yeah.
Where are these problems?
No, I have not.
And you think if you put that lotion on, you know, the flies don't come in and look for the ship? I don't know why, but you know, flies just love to sit on ship, you know.
It's an exercise.
It's warm. It stinks, it smells.
I'm covered in them.
You're covered in them. I thought everything is covered up by your skin.
They're covering my skin.
The flies are?
Yes.
So you're not the only one.
It's for actually for mosquitoes, but maybe the flies definitely get here.
See, I mean, the problem is always the problem. You always, when we think about our life, we think about this stuff. How much a trouble it is. We never think about what just sits inside the body, you know, and directs the body. You've driven a car? Have you driven a car? What language is he fluent in? Spanish.
yeah.
And Russian? No? No German?
No.
Very difficult. If you don't understand the language, you know, I mean, it's really difficult. All our life, we care about this body. We look after it, we wash it, we house it, we clothe it.
Abuse
we
it?
We feed it. Well, some people abuse it. Yes. Actually, quite a lot of people abuse it. And then when we die, and I mean, it's gone. This body is nothing else in comparison than a biological robot. If the program of this robot sleeps, the body doesn't do anything. It doesn't move. If the chitta moves, if the programmer of this body moves, it's not only the programmer, it's the one who established, who created this body. We think God created. In the West people believe God created this body. He created the body. We forgot how to create it.
It's the easiest way to make others responsible.
Yeah. It's always the other. Yeah, I mean, we put all the blame on God, you know. I mean, if something bad happens to us, I mean, we blame God for it, yeah. If something good happens to us, we never. People run in the church, you know, please God, take that sin away from me, take that misfortune away from me. When they win in the lottery, nobody goes and prays for God, please take this win from me. Huh? Only if bad things happen to them, please take it away from me. So the first thing about practice is, you know, to learn how to be responsible for oneself. Whatever happens to us is because of our own doing, not because somebody else does it onto us. The first step in practice. We have been children playing along all our lives, eh? No matter if you're young or if you're mid-aged, you know, or if you're older. Look at the people, they're playing around, they have no sense of responsibility. And that's why I call them children. I mean, the moment we start to practice, I mean, we have to take responsibility for our life. We have to take responsibility for our age. I mean, look at the people, how they react, you know. I mean, if they don't like something, they go to court. If they don't like this or like that, you know, if it's just a neighbor, you know, they beat him up, you know, or, you know, do this or do that. Practice is about, you know, reflecting about what one has done onto others. Practice is about understanding karma, the law of karma, the law of, you know, cause and effect. Whatever we have put into motion, that will come back to us. I mean, Jesus said it in another way. He said, you know, whatever you sow, that you will reap. So whatever we eat now, we must have sown it. But people don't believe it because they don't want the result of their own. No? It's like a farmer, you know, who likes now potatoes, you know, puts a lot of potatoes, you know, in the next life he wakes up, you know, and all the potatoes are ripe, you know, but he doesn't like potatoes anymore. He wants something else, then he gets angry because only potatoes are there. Now, whatever we have done, you know, it will come back to us. Whatever we have sown, you know, that we will reap. That is the law of karma. And it permeates everything. Everything. I mean, if you get a job, it's karma. If somebody rents us an apartment, it's karma. Everything. If you get much paid, you know, it's karma. If you get little paid, it's karma. If you get kicked out, you know, it's karma. If you get hired again, it's karma. If you have children, it's karma. It's not, you know, people get frustrated, you know. I mean, in the last life, you know, I mean, they aborted their children or abandoned their children. And in this life, they want to have children. And they can't get any. Karma. No matter what they do, you know, they can't get them. So, I mean, now what they do, and that is, of course, the best remedy is, you know, to adopt children. And to, you know, to raise them. So in the next life, you know, they will have the ability, you know, to get their own children again. So everything is coming. So I mean, we have to put a big smile on our face and say, hello, there you are, okay. I don't like you, but you know, I mean, I've created you. Let's face it. Let's face it. It's not that somebody else does it to us. It's not the government, it's not, you know, our, you know, it's not our country, it's not, you know, the European community or whatever it is. It's us. You know? It's not our father, it's not our mother, it's not our brothers and sisters, you know, it's us. We have done it, we will reap it. And the deeper we understand this karma, I mean, the easier we can go in the world. Yeah? Just put a smile on hello. Maybe it's sometimes it's not a smile, it's just a grin, you know, because it's difficult to take, isn't it? When you look, you know, at your school times, you know, I mean, you had to put in a lot, you know, I mean, a lot of things were coming towards you. You know? So you had to take it. You know? And if we are not physically strong, I mean, we just have to, the things to take. No? All the insults that we get, you know. And it doesn't happen, you know. I mean, it's not because of our skin. When I was in primary school, you know, whenever I went home, you know, there were four or five boys, you know, waiting for me to beat me up. It had nothing to do with my skin. Because of my karma. They insulted me, you know, and just like that, you know, because of my karma. And if I take that karma, you know, and reflect about it, then I see, you know, I see my own arrogance. Yeah? They created this kind of karma. So, then you can start to remove your arrogance, you know, and then sooner or later, first of all, you accept your karma, and sooner or later, you know, there's no more karma on the way. So, I mean, meditation, you know, is, or practice is all about investigation. Yeah? I mean, first of all, we have to get the mind calm. Once the mind is calm, you know, then we start with investigating. And we start with investigating what we care about most.
The body.
And it's always the body. Take your skin off and say hello. Who are you? Last time I already mentioned, you know, I mean, just taking the clothes off, you know, makes everybody look alike. There's no chef, there's no boss, there's no school teacher, there's no kid, you know. I mean, there's just people. Huh? That's why in German we say, you know, I mean, clothes make people. You know? And it's, you see it everywhere. You know? You dress in a certain way, you know, to represent some sort of status, you know, some sort of conviction. You know? That's why you dress. You know? Now, because a little bit further, and take off the skin. So, I mean, everybody becomes the same. You know? I mean, there's no, you, if there's no skin, you don't see the age. There's no aging. There's just blood, tissue, fat, or grease, yeah? Bones. And we cover that up with thin tissue. Huh? So take the skin, you know, and put a lot of wool in there, and then I just adore it. It doesn't age that long. That's what we, you know, I mean, when we look at a person, we look at the skin, we look, you know, we judge from the skin, we judge for everything. So when there is no more skin, I mean, our judging is getting really very bare. And we carry that. Whenever we take the skin off, you know, I mean, we carry these things, this mess. You know, you like to see this mess? Nobody likes to see this mess. I mean, body investigation is a very important step. I mean, it is, of course, it is the first kanda. Within the body lies greed and hate. I mean, the body is the pot, you know, where the plant of greed and hate can grow. And it's nurtured all the time. A male attacks a male because of his body, you know, his strength, you know, because of whatever. A woman, you know, attacks another woman, you know, maybe not physically, yeah, because of her body, of her beauty or non-beauty, you know, whatever. Of her position, you know, things. It's a natural thing, you know, just look at the chickens, you see. Watch the chickens, you know, how they behave, you know, I mean, and then you see how humans behave. Not different. And then the male comes, and then it screams, runs away. But watches, you know, always looks behind, you know, if the male is following. Huh? I just, I mean, that's why we're in the forest, you know. I mean, monks are to be in the forest, you know, to learn. We learn a lot from these animals. We can learn a lot, you know. We can learn from ants, we can learn from chickens, we can learn from squirrels, you know. Yeah, I mean, you don't have to be afraid. It's a snake, it's a snake with feet. They're actually really afraid, but I wonder why they're coming.
I was just shocked. I didn't know he was there. He keeps sneak up behind.
That's why, that's what snakes are for. So this body is actually, you know, it's nothing else than our advertisement. The advertisement of our ego, the advertisement of us. But when we look, what I said before, I mean, the body is the pot, you know, where the plant of greed and hate are rooted. I mean, the hate comes because, you know, because of our body, because we think we are beautiful, or we think we are ugly, or we think we are this or that, you know? Somebody else comes and thinks a different way, you know? And then the hate comes up. It's always related to the body. You know? So, I mean, we have to destroy the pot in order, you know, for greed and hate to disappear. If you destroy the pot of a plant, you know, I mean, the plant has no nurture anymore, you know, it dies. Huh? You know that. That doesn't mean, you know, I mean, we have to destroy the body. I mean, suicide is not the option. Yeah? It is not going to work out, you know. We have to destroy the illusion about the body. That the body is something that is nice, beautiful, you know, attractive, yeah? So the first thing in our investigation of the body is, what kind of pleasant feelings does the body give us? Why do you go to sleep? Because of the unpleasant feeling of tiredness. Why do you eat? Because of the unpleasant feeling of hunger. Why do you drink something? Because of the unpleasant feeling of thirst. Why do you exercise? Because of the unpleasant feeling of stiffness. So, I mean, the only thing that the body gives us is to remove the pain. And that is the pleasant feeling that we are after. That's why we want to eat, that's why we want to drink. You know? To remove the unpleasant feelings, and then we think, you know, the body is pleasant. Has a lot of pleasant feelings. Because we don't, you know, see what is coming before. I mean, in German we have a good saying, you know, I mean, run against the wall with your head. Until it bleeds, you know, or whatever. Because it's so nice when the pain recedes. It's the extreme of pain and the missing of pain. I mean, why do you think, you know, the Western people, you know, go to Thailand, you know, and heat themselves up in the sun until they can't bear the pain of the heat anymore. Then they jump into the cold water in the extreme until they can't bear the cold water anymore. Then they jump back into the heat, you know. It's the same thing. Yeah? It's the extremes, you know, that gives us the misconception of, you know, pleasure. Ask anybody, you know, who has been on the beach, you know, for 4 or 5 days. Ah, oh, wonderful. I mean, all what we need to do, you know, we don't have to buy a air ticket, you know, I mean, to Thailand or to any kind of beach. We just put, you know, nice hot stove, you know, put our hand above it, you know, and then have a nice hot, you know, cold bucket, you know. And it's the same thing. But people then would feel stupid.
Very stupid.
They would feel stupid. But when they go to the beach, where they do the same thing, they feel great. But Thai people think they are stupid because Thai people wouldn't do that. See? It's just, you know, it's just the point of view that we have. Hmm?
But some Western people don't do it too.
No, some, no, I mean, they're smart enough.
Yeah.
And especially when you lie in England on the beach, it's not getting hot anyway.
You get wet.
You get wet. It's really cold. Just like at the Baltic Sea, you know, in North Germany, I mean, or North Sea. Really don't have that. But anyway, I mean, that these extremes are that, you know, what we're after. So, and that's what we think the body gives them. So, I mean, the first investigation, what kind of pleasant feelings really does the body give you? And you will see none. So, why do we carry this flesh, you know? I mean, when we open up, you know, we see that mess of bones, of flesh, of tendons, you know, that we carry around with us. Wherever we go, we carry it around. And you don't let it go. Because somebody must have told you, you know, I mean, it's just like your backpack, you know, you go to India, to Himalaya, you know, you climb, you know, you climb up the mountain, you know, somebody gives you a backpack, you know, with 50 kilograms or 60 or 70 or 80 kilograms and says, this is gold. You wouldn't let go of it. Now you would carry it all up, you know, to the mountains. So, the Kalesas tell us, you know, this body is gold, you know. That's why they don't want us to look into it. Because the moment we get look into it, you know, we get disillusioned. What is that? You know, first investigation, the body really doesn't give us anything that is pleasant. You know? When we go into samadhi, I mean, the body is, you know, it's a lightweight. Yeah?
Irrelevant.
Yeah, the deeper you go, there is no more body. Yeah? And the mind and the spirit, you know, is so light, you know, it can go anywhere. It can go into the heavenly realm, you know, it can go on into another world, in wherever it wants to, you know, with the blink of an eye. But we can't. We have to create cars, airplanes. Somebody is working there. We have to create airplanes, ship, you know, to carry this mess around with us. And that's why we have to investigate. I mean, the first part is of the body investigation to understand that the body and the citta that drives that body is not the same thing. In other words, I is not the body, and the body is not I. I am not this bittun. I mean, that's clear to everybody, you know, but when I say here, this hand, everybody thinks it's me. Or this face, yeah. What has the face to do with what, you know, what is inside? So, take the body, when you sit in meditation, close your eyes, you know, and then chop off the body, you know, put it off. And then look, you know, I mean, you can do it coarse or you can do it fine. I mean, you can chop, you know, every part of it. See, I mean, where is that feeling coming up? Huh? It has nothing to do with us. Huh? But, you know, the moment we think, you know, I mean, we put a razor blade there, you know, and pull off the skin, you know, and look in the mirror, I mean, we think we might throw up. Huh? Just like, you know, like the physicians, you know, who first open a corpse, blah. I mean, they just, yeah. They either vomit, you know, or they fell unconscious. Why? We carry this around, you know, since our birth. And it's not the first time. Why do we get unconscious, or why do we want to vomit, you know, if we see a bad accident? I mean, where we see, you know, one arm is, you know, over there, another, you know, half of the leg is over there, the torso is split open, yeah? I mean, with motorbike accidents, you know, the brain, you know, goes out, you know. It's not a nice sight. No? If you see a wrecked car, okay, we say, okay, no, it doesn't look good. But we don't vomit. No? The body is not us. No? There's somebody inside this body, you know, who programs, you know, the driver of the car, yeah? Who drives this body. If you're very quiet in samadhi, I mean the body doesn't move. There's no intention to move the body. If you go even deeper into samadhi, you know, when the body disappears, they can chop off your body and you're not even aware of it. The buried people alive, you know, when they were in apana samadhi or deep samadhi, they didn't even know that they were buried. Only when they woke up, you know, then, aha, where am I? You know? So, I mean, the body is not us, eh? I mean, we have been somewhere else, you know, and then we come back, you know, that's what normally happens, or sometimes happens to people in a coma. They've been in other worlds, yeah? They spend, you know, I mean, they don't even want to come back, but, you know, their relatives, you know, please, please, you know, keep the body alive, you know, please, please come back, yeah? It's a torture on them, sometimes. They are already prepared, you know, to go somewhere else, you know, and then, you know, with this body, keeping this body, you know, waking, you know, keeps the line to the chitta connection, you know, and then makes them worried, you know, and sooner or later, I mean, either they, you know, they are able to cut it loose, you know, then they go, you know, and then it's just a biological robot, you know, that lies on the table, you know, it will never come back to life. But as long as the person, you know, as the chitta, you know, is still attracted, you know, goes forth and back, you know, then it's okay. You know? I can keep that body alive because it has not really made a decision. So it's very difficult in these days. Huh? So, I mean, to understand this nature, I mean, chop the body up, you know, put the parts out there, you know, and then ask, you know, look at all these parts, yeah? I mean, put your hand there, you know, then put the other hand there, and then put, you know, the underarm, the overarm, yeah, and so on, and so on. All the parts, you know. Until you put the brain, you know, the skull, the brain, and, you know, you can put your eyes separate out, yeah. Whatever you like, you know. And then look at it. If all the parts are there, what is it in here? If you do that exercise often enough, there will be, sooner or later, there will be a separation. Where suddenly, you know, the chitta sees these things, you know. I mean, the chitta doesn't see, you know, at the moment it doesn't see anything. All what it does, you know, when it looks in the mirror and it sees a face, you know, or if it's a big mirror, you know, it sees, you know, photo, you know, the front of our body. You know? It doesn't see the back of our body. You know? So, I mean, when we put it out like that, you know, the chitta starts to see. Ah, you know, there are body parts. Which of the body parts you call body? Brain? Hand? Nose? Lips? Ears? Which? Which is a body? Which is essential? Yeah. All of it? I wouldn't say that. People call themselves, you know, having a body even if they don't have legs. Other people call, you know, themselves a body, you know, if they have only one arm. Or even if they don't have an arm. So what is the essential? Is it the brain, you know? I mean, you can't live without, you know, the brain cannot function without a body. Is it the heart? Is it the brain, you know? Is it all of us, you know? Is it part of it, you know? What part? Yeah? And start, you know, I mean, that's where your creativity comes in. Then start, you know, taking this disassembled body, you know, and assemble it again. Now you can assemble it, you know, in the way it was. Or you can assemble it in all the ways you can think of. I mean, just put, you know, put your legs, you know, on your shoulders and then, you know, your arms on, you know, on your lower torso, yeah? And then look at it, you know, you call it a body? It's a sort of body, but, you know, it's not that body what we think about. Our body has, you know, certain specific things, you know, we want to do with it. That's why we created the way it is, you know. I mean, the legs are lower, you know, and the arms are higher, you know, and the brain is not between the legs, you know, for like for most people. You understand that expression?
I think for most people it's not.
Yeah. They have their brain between the legs.
Absolutely, yeah. For most of the population of the planet.
So, you understand? I mean, this is the exercise, you know, to understand that we are not the body. And you get, you know, I mean, you have to have samadhi to be able to do that. I mean, see what is happening. Yeah? I mean, if you start, you know, putting these things out, I mean, don't worry about the unpleasant feeling that comes up. Yeah? No, just put it out, see it, yeah? And see what is happening, yeah? The more, I mean, if you put out the part, you know, I mean, it's not there anymore. I mean, it has to be realistic, more or less realistic. I mean, we can do a lot of things. It has to be more or less realistic. And in the end, you know, if you put all the body parts out, there is still something. And that's exactly what we need. There's still something sitting there, and there are the body parts. Then the citta can see that the body is not the citta. And the citta has to understand it in order to let it go. It's really important that the citta understands it. I mean, all about our practice is teaching the citta. I mean, the brain understands it immediately, you know, but, you know, our brain has never helped us in solving any problems. Eh? We can't use our brain to understand this. So we have to open the citta and say, do you see it? You know, do you see these body parts? Yeah? And put them, you know, nicely, orderly, you know, or put them all in a heap, yeah? And look at it, you know, and then look again, and then look at it, and look again, yeah? You see it now? Ask yourself, ask the citta, do you see it now? It's not me. It has nothing to do with me. Until it kicks, until the citta understands. We cannot make the citta understand. We can only teach the citta to see certain things. And that's what we are teaching it now. I mean, that is one of the basic, you know, examples. Huh? Teaching the citta, it's not the body. Huh? It's not yet becoming really revolting. It's not yet becoming loathsome. Huh? It's just becoming, you know, the understanding that, I mean, like we say, you know, get out of your car, you know, see that you're not the car. Yeah? So, and that's why we put all the body parts in front of us and look at them. You know? I mean, the citta looks at us. You know? I mean, we have our eyes closed, so, I mean, we still see them. As long as they're here, they're, you know, I mean, you will be, you know, if you do that realistically, I mean, the moment you cut off your hand, you know, I mean, you put it there, I mean, the hand will be there. You can see it. But in order to be able to do that, I mean, we do have to have good concentration. We have to be able to visualize. We have to be able to visualize the body components, huh? And so the moment we take it off, you know, we put it out, we can visualize it. Huh? And it's realistic, you know. If some, you know, just like a doctor cuts up a box, yeah? And that
visualization?
Yeah. That visual... at the moment, okay, this
Visualization?
Visualization. It's important. And it's not easy for a lot of people, it's not easy. So we have to train them. It's not only that we need it for this exercise. We will need it even much more when we go inside of the body. When we really want to see the loathsomeness of the body.
Can't you take out the citta and look at the body? As samadhi,
isn't it? Yeah, you can do that. Yeah. But it's not the same.
That's expensive.
I mean, that it's good, you know, you can do that, then the other thing becomes much easier. I mean, if you can take the citta out, you know, and look at the body, go around the body, but then also chop it up. You know? chopping it up in bits and pieces.
Including the heart.
Yeah? What?
Including the heart.
Yeah, you can take out the heart, in the physical heart, you know, and look at it, you know. I mean, you see it realistic. Yeah? I mean, how can the chitta not know what is in the body? Yeah? Mm-hmm. It's just like the driver, you get, you know, you knock at him, you know, and she looks under the hood, you know, he sees everything. Yeah? He takes parts out, you know, and, you know, looks, you know, how the engine is working, takes it, you know, and then puts it back in. Yeah? I mean, the chitta is the master. Yeah? The chitta is something that never dies, you know. The body is something, you know, just like a car, you know. After 20 years, you can't use it anymore, you throw it away, yeah. And it gets crashed up, you know, molded again, you know, and a new car, you know, arises from it, yeah. I mean, where's the difference, you know, to the body? Yeah? So that is, the important thing is the visualization, yeah. I mean, if you cannot visualize these things, yeah. If you cannot visualize these, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, a Polaroid image, you know. It, as long as you see it clearly to understand, that's enough. Yeah? I mean, and, you know, some people see it, you know, as a Polaroid image. Yeah? Wow, you know, so sharp and clear and things like that. Yeah? Other people just see it, you know, see the forms of it, you know, for you to understand. Yeah? And that's enough. Yeah? But we have to get this visualization going. Yeah? And that's a long path. So, I mean, sometimes, you know, your body investigation just will start out like this, Buddha, 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 then you say skin, 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 skin. And then you stay on the skin for 1 hour until you start to see it. Yeah? Once you start to see it, then you can do things. You can zoom in or you can zoom out. Mm-hmm. You can see, you know, you can dig in, you can cut it out, you can look behind it, you know, you can do anything. But only if you can see it. Then comes, you know, then comes the creative part of this investigation. That's where we actually do need our brain. Thinking. That's where we need to think. What happens, you know, if I put some fire under the skin, and then we put some fire under the skin and let it roast? We can do that with the whole body, you know. If we see the whole body in front of us, then let's put some fire and see what's happening. Yeah? Or throw it in the water and let's see what is happening. We have these memories, you know. I mean, the chitta has went through so many deaths, so many experiences. I mean, it knows it all. I mean, you know, all what you do is you pull out, you know, from the past. It's not, you know, I mean... And if you do then body investigation, I mean, you can really see. I mean, you learn how to see your inside. I mean, you can investigate your body without an x-ray much better than any doctor. When the doctors came to see Lungta and said, you know, we need to measure your blood pressure, I mean, Lungta told them, I investigated already. I know what is happening in there. He just needs to go there with his concentration and look what is happening within his body, then he sees it. Huh? But we need all these expensive machinery, you know, to look inside the body. Huh? And you see, you know, you can see. You know? I mean, it's not necessarily that you want to go in this direction, but you can see if there's malfunction of the body. And then you can reflect on where it's coming from, what kind of karma created this kind of malfunction. If it is, you know, can it be corrected or can it not be corrected? You can all these things investigate. But the beginning is the tough part. And if I remember correctly, I mean, when I came here, you know, before in the West it's not taught, eh? Because people think, you know, to think about something that is loathsome is not practice. We want to practice, you know, for being happy, you know. We don't want to practice, you know, to vomit. You know? We don't want to see ugly things, huh? Isn't it? We want to see beautiful things, having beautiful, you know, colors and spheres and things like that. Huh? That's why we practice. But in order to understand, you know, to get rid of greed and hate, I mean, we have to investigate this body. Mm. So when I came here, it took me about 9 months until I could see. But some people, you know, do it 3 or 4 days and they start seeing it very clearly.
When you say see, do you mean visualize?
Yeah, visualize.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Picturing it.
Yeah, picturing it, yeah.
Would it help to smell it and taste it and
yeah, you can,
touch
I mean,
it?
If you like.
What does it feel like?
If you like, you know, I mean, certainly you get, when you open up the body, you get the smell. I mean, just open up your stomach, you know. Visualize opening up your stomach, you get all the smell. And it's disgusting. It's really revolting. Yeah, I mean, when we throw up, when we vomit, you know, it's revolting. But actually, you know, we don't want to eat that food anymore. But the body doesn't mind. The body just takes what it can, you know. I mean, it's a chemical factory. It's nothing in a chemical factory. You put it in, you know, I mean, if it can process it, you know, it processes it and, you know, makes energy out of it. Yeah? If it cannot, you know, it just throws it out. So what's so wonderful about this body? And all what we have to look after. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So what is
the question? So the way that I see it is, if you can visualize chopping up the body, and you got all the, you know, everything there, the head and the arms and the legs and the torso and the bum and everything's there in front of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you're left with two things. You're left with a pile of body here and the cheetah.
Yes.
So that's a very good way of being able to, if you say you can't contact the cheetah, pile your body up before you.
Yeah, but it's not easy.
Look at the body. Okay, it's not easy. Yeah. But once you've got that pile of body there, you're left with the cheetah.
Yes. And but, you know, it will, in the beginning, the first time you do it, I mean, it will not be clear. You know, I mean, still you still see it, but the cheetah still does not understand it yet. I mean, the more often you do it, you know, some people have to do it 100 times, other people have to do it 1,000 times, other people have to do it 1,000,000 times, you know, until it clicks. And you cannot make it click. That's a problem. But you get the idea, the more often you do, the better you get the idea that these are two separate things. So, I mean, it depends also on your concentration while you're doing it. When you really concentrate it, within 3 or 4 times, I mean, it can really click. If you're not concentrated, you can do it 100 or 1,000 times and it still doesn't click. So, I mean, you do that after you do the concentration. After you do samadhi and you feel really powerful, when you get out of samadhi, you feel really powerful, then you go ahead and do it. Of course, that is, I mean, that's the whole idea, you know, to see the citta, you know. But you cannot, you cannot investigate the citta because the citta is you. There's no way.
But you're aware of it.
Yes, of course. Just like you're aware of yourself now. You're aware of your body, you know, you, and then you will be aware of the citta and you will be aware of this.
But it's a greater awareness because you can see the body in front of you as well.
Try it out, you know, and you will see. See, maybe it works, you know. I mean, for some people it works very fast. For other people, you know, I mean, it's a long training. I mean, until I told you, I mean, when I came here, that was the only topic I had to investigate. Body. Took me about 9 months, you know, to be able to get a picture.
What was the picture you had at that 9 months?
I mean, whatever I took, it didn't really matter. You know, I can work with skin, I can work with hair, I could work, you know, with teeth, you know, until I could see it, you know, internal picture.
Could you see it all in one mass before?
I mean, yes, you can. I can, you know, sometimes, you know, and after a while I could, you know, I could then, you know, step out, you know, when I was lying down, I could step out and look, you know, around my body. But, you know, that takes training. It's all training. I mean, samadhi is training, you know, this thing is training. But nobody, of course, teaches us. Teaches us this training. You know, if we were taught that from the beginning of our life, I mean, it would be so easy. You know? We wouldn't need to board airplanes, you know, to go to another country. Just go there, you know, with our mind. But people lost this ability. I mean, it's not that they didn't have that. 100,000 years ago, I mean, they had this ability, you know, to travel around. Huh? Didn't need it. Huh? And that's, and then it's lost, you know, and then it comes again, and it's lost, you know, it depends on. You know? But it doesn't matter. So. I mean, now, the second part of body investigation, and that is the most difficult part, is to deal with all these unpleasant sensations that come up when we look at this disgusting nature of the body. People in the West always think, you know, I mean, we have to make the body disgusting. Just take the skin off and you will, you don't see it as beautiful. So, I mean, we don't have to make the body disgusting. We just have to see the reality, just like the doctors open up a corpse, you know, and the, yeah. All what we want to do is see the reality. I mean, the more we want to, the more we're going to see the reality, the more disgust is coming up. It's just natural. Disgust is a form of hate. So we see that we see to the root of hate. That's where we go to the root of hate. So we do something, you know, we see something disgusting. Something comes up. So I mean, that is the way to deal with hate if we are alone. If we don't have anybody, you know, to put our hate up. I mean, monks normally, you know, go alone, you know, somewhere in the forest, in the, you know, deep caves, you know, on the mountain and things like that, do body investigation and they see all their hate. The hate, that's why I said, you know, the hate is rooted within the body. The moment you do body investigation, hate comes up. And you will see it the more you do it. And I warn you, please, be really careful. Don't let the, in the beginning, if you do it 2 or 3 hours a day, there will be irritation. This irritation will automatically be directed towards other people. Don't let that out. This irritation comes because we destroy the favorite toy of the Kilesa. And they get really irritated. They don't like it. And the more we destroy it, the more hatred comes up. We are not the hatred, we learned that before. So the hatred comes from the Kilesa. They hate it, you know. I mean, just like, you know, I mean, a child has a favorite toy, yeah, and you want to take it away, it's going to cry and hate everything. So we take this favorite toy, and that is the body, away from the Kilesas. So that's why in the beginning, if you do it little by little, irritation comes up. You have to be extremely careful. What happens to most of the Westerners, you know, when I teach body meditation, I mean, they do it, you know, after a while, you know, they get into it, you know, and then they blame me for the hate. And that's where it goes wrong. I mean, that's the end of your investigation.
How long do they normally last?
Well, you know, this hate goes on and on and on and on, yeah?
No, I mean, before they start blaming you.
Well, it depends on how deep they get, you know, how irritated they get. They throw it on me. Because I taught them, you know, and I warned them in the beginning, so I mean, but they, you know, they don't listen. They just see the hate coming up, you know. So be careful. I warn you, you know, and it always happens. I'm not the source of your hate. Your hate is, you have this hate, you know. The hate is in your heart, or in your chitta. So you have to learn how to deal it. And that's why we bring it up. So if it's too much, you know, I mean, okay, then we go something, then we go rest ourselves in samatha, yeah? Where we get pleasant again, you know, pleasant feeling. If we think we cannot bear this hate or this irritation anymore, then we just rest the chitta, yeah? And then it cools down. When we start investigating, then it boils up, yeah? And then it cools down again, it boils up. First of all, with it is essential. I mean, no matter what we do, I mean, we do have to investigate a lot of things. We have to investigate emotions, we have to investigate feelings, we have to investigate all sorts of things. This is the key, how to investigate all these things. When this irritation comes up, or when this hate comes up, or when this feeling of repulsiveness comes up, we accept that feeling and look at, look at it. We want to understand, meditation or practice is wanting to understand what is a feeling. Irritation is just a feeling. It arises, you know, and it arises because we do body investigation. It arises very quickly. You will be surprised. If it gets real, it arises very quickly. If you just play around, it doesn't arise. So if you just take some pictures, you know, and shuffle them through, you know, and nothing, you know, nothing, no irritation comes up, that means you play around. You're not really doing it really. So, I mean, irritation comes up. We accept that feeling. We want to understand. So, I mean, we want to understand not only irritation. Because this feeling comes up, you know, very, very regularly. And we'd only have to do one thing, how it comes up. So it's the easiest feeling how to deal with. Pain is another feeling, you know, we just need to sit longer, and you know, it also comes up. Yeah. Also, pain and this irritation are two feelings that we can train our mind how to deal with feelings. Accept them first. And that is the tough part. Once we can accept a feeling as a feeling, then we can compare. What is the difference between the feeling of fear, the feeling of pain, the feeling of irritation, the feeling of anger, the feeling of greed? Yeah? What's the difference? We can investigate. And then, after we can accept a feeling, we see the cause of this feeling. And that's how we understand how this world that we live in is built, you know. The more we practice, the more we investigate, the more we see the building blocks of our world, yeah. You know these card houses, you know, it's not important which part of the body you investigate. This is just like a card house. Whatever card you take out, boops, the whole house falls apart. Because each card is the same. And that's the same with the body. No matter if you investigate your liver and get through the understanding of your liver, I mean, once you pull that card, you know, boops, the whole body goes up in smoke. Okay, understood? But be warned, you know? I mean, irritation will come up. Know that, yeah? And don't let it out on your friends or colleagues, and especially not me, because I will react very decisively. That's the way out. That's my own, yeah. I mean, the moment, you know, somebody comes and puts his anger on me, that's the way out. I don't need to teach. I teach it for your benefit. If you like to hear, okay, you're welcome. If you don't like to hear, you can go. I don't get paid, so I can say whatever. No. I don't make my living with okay.
Where's a good starting point? Okay, so would it be the skin or the hair or what? Just give me a good starting point.
The starting point that every monk gets is hair. Okay. Of the hair,
yeah.
Hair of the body, teeth, very important, teeth, advertising, teeth, beautiful white teeth, and of course the skin. Did I forget something?
Nails.
Ah, yeah, for women it's important, nails.
and that includes the toenails.
Yeah. I mean, they paint. Women normally paint both the toenails. And we get attracted by it automatically. You won't even notice them.
I did.
But you know, yeah? Notice. And the color is important. I mean, it all plays. You know, the more you understand, the more you are with yourself, the more you understand these things. You know, how, I mean, that's how we understand, you know, how the world, you know, operates. You know, I just need to look at the sala. Sometimes I just watch the people and I know what is going on between them. Because I understand it, I have investigated for myself. So, I mean, if I look and I see the same pattern, then I know what is happening. That's a beautiful thing. You know, I mean, we don't have to understand the world. We only have to understand ourselves. And if we understand, the more we understand ourselves, the more we understand the world. Because everybody is the same, you know, works in the same shoe. Okay. Questions? Did you understand a little bit?
Do you have to let it go or let it be?
Let it be. Because you can't let it go. The way to let it go is to teach a chitta. Do you see it? You understand it? The chitta says no. Okay, do you see it again? You understand it? No.
Yes.
Until the chitta says it understands it, that moment the chitta understands, it's cut off.
And you let it go.
You can't let it go. Then the chitta lets it go.
I don't quite get how investigating, dissecting the body, putting it before you, can initiate the rise of irritation and hate.
Not yet. I mean, I didn't say that it can. But just take your skin off. I mean, just put a knife, you know. I mean, a shudder will run down your spine, you know, when you really do that. Yeah, I mean, you don't have to do it actually, you know, physically, you know, but just, you know, imagine, you know, somebody comes with a razor blade, you know, and then, you know, and you see the blood dropping, you know, and then you start to pull the skin off. I mean, but even with cutting off, you know, I mean, you can do it, you know, you can do it just, you know, non-repulsive, you know, just cut off the things in the parts, you know, and see the parts. Or you can cut it off and then look, you know, take it around, you know, look at the... that cup.
And just one thing, how far should we go in one session of investigation? You know, maybe two hands, a leg, or go for, you can't obviously do the whole body in one
yes,
go.
Yes, I mean, in the beginning, just do it cause.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, normally 1 to 2 hours. Just sit there 2 hours, you know, I mean, you can do it.
Okay.
And you can even, within these 2 hours, you know, after you're trained, you can put it back.
Is it just sitting or standing? Or?
Just sitting. I mean, you can do it while walking. When you do walking meditation, I mean, just throw the things, you know, to the side of your path. And then when you come back, you see all the things. Yeah, I mean, yeah. That's how we attach
like
to the body. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then what is walking? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get to this, you know, you can get to this sensation, you know, walking, you know, when you do a long enough walking. I mean, once in a while, you know, I walk for 3 or 4 hours, you know, and after 3 or 4 hours, you know, suddenly, you know, I saw myself sitting and see somebody walking up and down. And then I thought, oh, wow, that's interesting, somebody's walking. And there was somebody walking up and down, really, you know, physically. Yeah. But, you know, the chitta was sitting outside and just observing this. Yeah. That's samadhi, you know, while you do walking meditation. You cannot go deeper than that. You can only go deeper when you sit or when you stand. Just do it, you know, try it out, you know, if it's hard in the beginning, I mean, whatever you can put out, you know, because it will be, you have to overcome certain things, you know, when you cut it off and put it out, you know? So, yeah. Train.
So just do it.
Just do it.
Just do it.
Just like an exercise. Mm-hmm. You know? You didn't expect to hear that, huh?
Yesterday I talked to one woman, and I knew more or less about what speech she told me. I was expecting.
No, I mean before you came here, you didn't expect that. No. So, are there more questions? No?